Buenos días, hermanos y hermanas. Soy Donna. Soy su misionera a Zacatecas. I was going to give part of my presentation in Spanish, but it would turn into a comedy show, so I'm not going to do it. First of all, I want to thank everyone on behalf of Eddie and myself for all of your prayers. Amen. We couldn't be down there without it. And I said I'm not going to blubber, but I might. But we do thank you for your prayers. We thank each of you that have supported us financially. It means a lot to us. We thank you for all of your support and encouragement when we come back. We do have a notebook on the back table back there that if you'd like to be a part of our newsletters that we send out, just write down your name and your email address for us and we'll add you to that. I personally prefer, you know, the old-fashioned snail mail, but you may or may not get it when we mail it from Mexico. And if we do, it takes about 3 weeks. So it's better to do email. So if you want to leave your email address. A lot of people have been asking me since we've been here, what's it like to be a missionary wife for the second time? And basically, I'm just like all the rest of the wives here. My main purpose is to feed and water my husband. I take care of all the menial tasks. I have had to learn a lot of skills that I had lost in the past, like washing dishes by hand. I hadn't done that in probably 35 years because we all have dishwashers. I had to learn how to hang out clothes again on the line. The problem is you hang them out in the morning and the afternoon when they're dry and you take them in, they're dirty again because in Zacatecas it's very windy and it's very dirty. It's desert. So I cook and wash and clean and pay bills. I told Eddie I'm his deaconess. I take care of all the menial tasks so he can spend his time praying and studying and witnessing and passing out tracts and street preaching. I do go with him. I help him with the packets. I help him stamp the tracts and make the packets and seal them in the plastic bags. We pack them in boxes of 150 and he takes those and puts them in his truck and he loads up his little satchel he carries and so he can hand them out. So I can do that all day long in between my loads of laundry and whatever else I'm doing. I also had the opportunity, a great opportunity actually, to have hosted a ladies' fellowship in my house and was allowed to give the presentation to the ladies in Spanish, and none of the ladies speak English. But they were gracious enough to lie to me and tell me that they understood everything. That was huge for me because I could probably write a book on all the mistakes that I made in Spanish. The other day, well, not too long ago, I was talking with Gloria and she asked me a question and we communicate pretty well. It's kind of like charades, but we communicate pretty well and she asked me a question. She asked me, can I do something or do I do something? And I replied to her, I said, well, I can, but I don't because soy flaca. For y'all that don't know, that says, I don't do it because I'm skinny. Well, the look on her face was priceless. I could just see the wheels turning and she's thinking, how do I respond to that? And then I realized what I had done. I just burst out laughing and I corrected myself and I said, I'm lazy. And then she could laugh with me. But now I'm teaching Gloria Spanish. And the other day we were at Whataburger and she was saying, chequear. And that's not a Mexican word. That's not a Spanish word. And so now I'm teaching her Donamex. God called us a year ago in the mission conference here in San Antonio to go to Mexico. It was the last day, the last meeting, and the last minute of that meeting. And the question was asked, is there no one that's going to go? Who will go? And Eddie was standing back at the back and he went, I'll go. I think we shocked the entire church. For about a split second, the church was quiet because you generally expect young people to stand up and, you know, because young people join the army and young people climb trees and cut limbs. Young people go to the mission field, but we went. And it's been a blessing. And so everybody's been asking us, what did your kids say? Well, I believe David was here for that meeting, but we didn't really have an opportunity to talk to him or even tell him. Everybody was shocked except us. We'd been praying about it for about a year, Eddie even longer. So it was no surprise to me when Eddie went ahead and surrendered. Laura was sick that night, and she didn't make that meeting. So we went home, and we called her, and she was shocked. She couldn't even talk to us. She started crying and said, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and called Brian. He lives north of Dallas. And the next day, somewhere around the middle of the day, unexpectedly, David showed up on our door. He works in Bernie, and we're like, why is he here in the middle of the day? So he comes in, then Laura showed up. And they hadn't talked to each other. They didn't know each other were coming. And then Brian called on the phone at the same time. So we put him on speaker. We thought, let's get it over with all at one time. So David and Laura, very maturely, are trying to reason with us and talk to us and make sure we don't have dementia or Alzheimer's or just really gone off the deep end. And Brian, bless his heart, he was always my trouble child. He comes right out and he goes, do you not realize how old you are? How many health problems you have? We had to really reassure them that we are sane. We knew what we were doing and that it's okay. But Zacatecas for us has been nothing but ups and downs. It's about 8,000 feet above sea level. And for y'all that don't know it, I am very afraid of heights. We sing a song around here that's always been a blessing to me called I Want That Mountain. Now I sing I Want That Flatland. Zacatecas defies the law of gravity. No matter where you are, no matter what direction you're going in, you're going up. It doesn't matter. You're going to go up. I know that doesn't seem logical, but it's true. Laura came to visit us during spring break, and we picked her up at the airport. We're driving her home. We're heading to our house, and she's hanging on in the back seat, and we're going up to our house, and she goes, if we go any steeper, we're going vertical. And that's how it is. Everywhere in Zacatecas, everywhere we go, it all seems fine. And then all of a sudden, we hit a speed bump. And those speed bumps are big. I mean, big. And you don't see them. You don't know they're coming. They're not marked. And they're all covered with dirt because of all the dust. And so you go, wham! And when we first went down there, we took my car. And no matter how slow we went, we drug the bottom of my car because they're so big. And then there's sharp curves. The whole main road in Zacatecas is like a snake. Even Eddie has to slow down. Now that's a miracle on its own. Guardrails. Yeah, forget that. You might have a guardrail that's about 6 inches, but that's it. I mean, guardrails are not something they have. And cliffhangers. There's always cliffhangers. When they want to build something like a neighborhood, they just dig out the mountain. If you buy a small piece of property, the rest of your house is sitting on a stilt because you're hanging off of the mountain. So I started looking at Zacatecas and where we live and all these things that are going on, and I thought, you know, that reminds me of my Christian walk. We're walking along, all nice and happy, safe and secure. The road seems easy and comfortable. And then all of a sudden, God puts a bump in our life. We don't see it coming. We don't know what's happening. And we hit it like, man, where'd that come from? And we think, now what? Now what do I have to do? Well, God will get us over those bumps. But he's been teaching me trust through all this, that I have to trust him with every bump in my life. God throws in curves so that we have to slow down and focus on him, what is his will for us. We have to remember that he is our guardrail. He's going to take care of us. In 1 Peter 5:7, I'm going to quote it because, I mean, read it because I don't quote things very well anymore. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When we're going around those things in our life that we don't understand, we have to give God all of that. He's going to take care of it. Cliffhangers. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of cliffhangers in our life. This mission conference is maybe a cliffhanger for some of you. What should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go? Should I stay? What new adventures does God have for us? We prayed for God's direction. Now we're in Zacatecas. Wow. Have you asked God what he wants from you? Are you ready to trust God when he answers that prayer? I got to thinking about what changes God might want in my life in order to be a better wife, a better helper, better Christian, better missionary. Romans chapter 9, verse 3 was read earlier in the mission conference. I believe it was in the morning meeting, and I believe Brian was the one that read it. It said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. If I could have that kind of desire for the souls in Mexico, I would be so much better as a missionary. We all need that kind of desire where we could just love them so much and desire their salvation so strongly. So, I got to thinking about the challenges and how I can make my walk better and what characteristics do I need. So in Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So I got to thinking, I need to look at some of the people in the Bible and see what their character was like and see how God can take and put that in me and make me better. So I started looking at Noah. Noah was given a task. He was given a mission. He was given a job to do, to build the ark. He never gave up. Yeah. I know that he was ridiculed. I know he had people going, what are you thinking? Yet he didn't give up. Amen. I want to trust God like Daniel did. Daniel was put in the den of lions, and he had to have had some fear, but he trusted God. And God says, you know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even in Zacatecas, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I want to be loyal like Ruth. Ruth gave up her family, her country, her friends, and she went with Naomi. I want that kind of loyalty with God. I want that kind of loyalty with my husband. And I want to ask the ladies, if your husband gets called in the mission field, are you going to have that kind of loyalty with your husband, trusting that he's following God, and you're going to follow him to the ends of the earth wherever he goes? I want to be a woman after God's own heart like David was. Even as a sinner, God loved David, and he blessed him. I want the patience and faithfulness of Job. He never turned his back on God. Even when his own wife said, just curse God and die. Just walk away. It gets tough. It gets tough here in San Antonio. It gets tough in Mexico. It gets tough in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Russia. It doesn't matter where you are. Life gets tough. We have to wait on God because sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but it's a need to know basis. We don't have to know. We just have to follow.
Amen.
I want the wisdom of Solomon. If I could have his discernment, If I could have his wisdom in knowing when to speak and when not to speak, oh, what a blessing that would be. I want to have the preparedness of the woman in Proverbs 31. I want to be prepared in life. I want to be prepared with the word, always being ready to just reach in my heart and find those things that are hidden in my heart that I can share. I want the confidence of Paul. All through Philippians, Paul is, I am confident, I am confident. I want that kind of confidence. I want that kind of confidence in what we're doing. I want that kind of confidence in my Spanish. I want to love and forgive others like Jesus did. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to be like-minded with Christ. We need to put on His character in us. We need to love others like He loved us. If I can surrender myself and learn to make all these things a part of me, steadfastness, trust, loyalty, patience, faithfulness, wisdom, preparedness, confidence, love, forgiveness, and a woman after God's own heart, I will be the wife, the helper, the missionary that God wants me to be. And I know I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus to help me. And just like in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, including changing my character, including changing my desires. Are you ready to surrender your all and let Jesus make you what He wants you to be? A long time ago, and we've been in this church probably 47 years, 48 years almost. On the original church, on the back door, there was a sign that said, you're either a missionary or a mission field. I've never forgot that sign. Being a missionary doesn't always mean you have to pack up everything, sell everything, walk away from everything, go to a foreign field. Maybe your missionary is right here. Maybe your mission field is your family, your neighbors, your work. Maybe it is a foreign field. Don't put limits on what God can do for you. My goodness. He even called an old geezer and his wife. It doesn't matter how old you are, either how old or how young. You have to be willing. I do believe that God has something for everybody. Not everybody has to go, but everybody has to do. The Bible says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Everybody needs to be out there being a missionary in some way. Even if it's not what you picture in your mind as a missionary, you have a mission. You have something that you need to do. And so I challenge each of you today during this mission conference to examine your heart. Find out, what does God want me to do? How does God want to use me? Thank you. Amen.